we are excited to have this morning a friend of ours that we've known for the last few years, but got to really spend some quality time with him this past October. He and his wife are just awesome, and so he was able to come, Ashley Terades, and minister at Karis Bible College yesterday. Did a fantastic job. It was awesome for anybody that was here, and we just want to give Ashley a big Birmingham welcome as he comes and ministers this morning. You guys are going to be so blessed. Come on, Ashley.
Praise the Lord. So the first thing I've got to tell you is I'm not from Alabama. But I am American now. I've actually got my American passport. So I'm American. Amen. So citizenship. And the passport came. So it's definitely official now. Praise the Lord. So I'm still English. I'm 100% British and 100% American. So I tell people I was born in the second best country in the world and I now live in the best. Is that okay? Is that okay to say that? Okay. I was preaching in Canada last week, so I couldn't say that, but I can say that now. So I was tempted to say that I'm preaching in the third best country in the world, but I thought that wouldn't go down too well. So anyway, and then I'm going to Australia in a few weeks, so I better be careful what I say. But anyway, welcome to everyone watching online. And my name is Ashley Terades, and I'm so blessed to be here in Life of Faith Church. Praise God. And want to thank, first of all, let me just say this, is I'm privileged enough and blessed enough to basically be in a different church every Sunday. That's what happens. When I go to my home church in Colorado Springs with Pastor Lawson Badu, he greets you all as well. He loves you all. He says, I forgot to tell you, Mark. He texted me this morning and said, give Pastor Mark a hug. So anyway, but they say, are you a first-time visitor? Because I'm just not there very much because I'm traveling to other churches. But I just want to tell you, you've got something special here. This is a great church. How about the worship, praise God? Isn't the worship powerful, amen? That was awesome. Awesome job on the worship, praise God. It was really powerful. And you've got some special people here at this church. And in your pastors to start with, Pastors Mark and Jennifer, real special people, praise God, doing an awesome job. So if you're visiting here, first of all, if this is your home church, congratulations. You've got a great church. You mean really have. I mean that. Congratulations. If you're visiting here, if you're a guest here, then just think about, coming next week and hearing Pastor Mark teach. You're going to be really blessed, praise God. So I tell people a church alive is worth the drive. So, it doesn't matter how far away you are. If, it's once a week, twice a week, you can make the drive, praise God. And I know people that drive 2, 3, 4 hours one way for a good church. So if I told you that, there was $10,000 and you had to drive 4 miles, you'd 4 hours, you'd be there. Well, what you're getting here is much more valuable than any treasure, praise God. So come along and join them next week. You're going to be blessed, praise God. So Pastors Mark and Jennifer, thank you. I've really enjoyed my time with you this week. It's been awesome, praise God. It's been a lot of fun. So there you go. So if you want to know anything more about our ministry or where we're going, we go to different towns every weekend, then you can go to terradesministries.com. terradesministries.com and check out our itinerary. And there's all sorts of things on there as well, praise God. So I guess I should... I'll do that later. So I want to get into the word, praise God. So I want to tell you a story. Pastor Mark said, your story about your daughter Hannah is so powerful. Would you share it? So I said, no problem. I can share that. And I've got a feeling that, praise God, we're going to go on a journey together this morning. Is that okay? Is that okay? So if anyone can't understand me, we're going to get an interpreter up here, a translator, and they can translate. Got to be careful. I'm in the south, right? So it's usually the southern states that get on me. They say, I can't understand you. Was that good? Did I get it? Close? Okay. I love the south. Praise God. You got the best food down here in the amen. So this is real. I understand this is real America, right? Is that right? This is real America. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Good. So I want to take you on a little journey. I have three children, and my youngest child, Hannah, is now 16 years old. But when she was born in 2003, she was born with an incurable disease. And we didn't know it at the time. We had two sons, and we were very young when we had our kids. And, we weaned them and gave them food like you normally do, right, when they start growing up. But with Hannah, we started giving her food, and she could never swallow food. She was not able to swallow food. When you puree the food, every time she went to eat it, she just threw it back up. It wasn't working. So we kept her on milk, and my wife was actually epileptic at the time. She had grand mal seizures. She couldn't be left on her own with the kids, and she was on 11 different medications a day. So we had to bottle feed our kids. So she was being bottle fed, and she had to be fed like every hour. And every time we fed her, she would throw the food back up again. It just wasn't working. So we went to the doctors, and the doctors diagnosed her with this disease called eosinophilic enteropathy. Don't ask me to spell it. I can't even say it twice. So that's it, eosinophilic enteropathy. And basically what it is, it's a disease that attacks the body. And basically the body thinks that protein, food, is germs. So every time my daughter ate something, what happened was her body attacked and fought it like it was a germ, like, and attacked it. And also she had a different problem, a reflux problem, where she couldn't swallow solid food. And then she also had a blood disease and a number of other things. But the main thing was this eosinophilic enteropathy that meant that every time she tried to eat food, she couldn't keep it down, she would throw it up, and she wasn't able to absorb protein. So at the age of 3 years old, it came to a critical time, because she'd never eaten. She was on pureed food and bottled food until she was three. And when she was 3 years old, she was the size of a nine-month-old baby. So she was in nine-month-old clothes. We used to put her down, and she'd walk, and people would say, "Wow, she's walking early." And I say, "She's just turned three. You'd never guess it. She was tiny." And she had, she probably should have bought the Kleenex. That would be good. She was back. She was out of diapers, but the disease just started taking her downhill to the point where she was back in diapers again. She was back in her stroller most of the time. Her energy levels were low, and on the charts, they do these charts, these where they check her every week. And there's like the red zone, the danger zone, right? And she was off of the danger zone. I mean, she was below the danger zone. They said she cannot live like this. So they tried all these different things to her. They tried different ways of curing it. And eventually, they did a last resort operation, which was to put a tube directly into her stomach, and like a valve, and then she'd have a machine that would feed her this special formula called Neocrate, which was 100% synthetic. And they said that this is going to work. She must be able to get protein from this formula. So we went ahead and got the operation, and she got this machine. And this machine was tied up to her 23 hours a day. We'd unplug it for 1 hour a day so we could clean the machine and flush the machine out and then reload it again. So this was her life, attached to this machine at 3 years old, being fed, drip-fed this Neocrate formula. And she wasn't getting better. She was still going downhill. And my wife and my daughter Hannah were basically living in the hospital at the time. And it got to the point where it looked like they were giving up hope on her. Now, let me tell you our spiritual condition at the time. So we were associate pastors at a church. We believed God could heal. We'd seen people healed. We believed God could heal. But we didn't understand the true gospel. We didn't understand the kingdom of God. We didn't understand the will of God. And it's very difficult to have faith in something or really go out on a limb on something if you don't know if it's God's will or not. So if you're not sure it's God's will in a certain area, how are you going to go all out and believe God for it? Because maybe he will, maybe he won't. And we grew up like this. We grew up and we got born again as teenagers. And we grew up in a church that maybe God heals, maybe he doesn't. Maybe it's just, it's your lucky day. Maybe God's going to heal today, maybe he won't. Maybe if you've got more people praying. Maybe if you've got the prayer chain, and if you've got a prayer chain against, I'm just saying. Maybe if you get more people praying. So we were desperate parents. How do you know? When you're desperate, you do desperate things. So we had prayer chains. We had all different types of things. We tried all night. I tried fasting. I tried eating. I tried everything, okay? Because I wanted my daughter well. And here's the thing. It's worse to believe that God hasn't got the power to heal. It's worse to believe that God has the power to heal and doesn't heal than he has the power to heal and choosing not to heal. If you think about it, if people believe, I know people believe nowadays that some people believe nowadays that God doesn't heal, there's no miracles anymore. Well, if you believe that, you need to read the Bible. It's wrong anyway, if you believe that. But, that's not as bad as believing God does heal, but he chooses not to heal some people. You think about it. If you're a parent here or a grandparent and you had a sick child, you'd do anything to see that child healed. Am I right? I mean, I was at the point where I was praying these type of prayers. Lord, just give the disease to me. I'll take the disease from her. I got to the point of thinking, I'd rather die than see my daughter sick like this. You get a witness? People, you do anything for your children. And there's a so-called loving God choosing not to heal my daughter. That's not a great place to be. I got to the point where I was like, this is not fair. And I couldn't go anywhere else. I knew there's only one God. I knew God Almighty. I knew I'd give my life to Jesus. I knew. But I got to the point on the inside where this is not fair. God, you've got the power to heal and you're not healing my daughter. something's wrong with this. And in fact, if that is the true nature of God, which it isn't, if that is the true nature of God, then that's not good, because that means that he's withholding a good thing from his children. So I went back and forth with this turmoil, and we tried everything, praying for her, tried all the different things. She was getting worse. And finally, I went to the hospital, and I said to the doctor, in fact, I went into the hospital room, and I called the doctor outside. I said, can I talk to you outside, man to man? I mean, I was like in my 20s, you know, but I said, I'm going to talk to you outside, man to man. So I took him outside, and I said, sir, I said, let me ask you this. How long have you been a pediatrician for? How long have you been treating children for with this type of disease? He said, 28 years. You know, looking back on it, he must have thought, what's this guy doing? But I wanted to know, you know, am I dealing with an expert here? Am I dealing with a novice? You know, this is my daughter's life. It's like, one time I went flying, and it was a two-seater plane, and the guy flying, I can't fly a plane, the guy flying the propeller plane looked like 16. And I was concerned about this. I said, sir, how long have you been flying for? He said, I've been flying 10 years. Well, that made me feel better. Then he said, this is my first solo flight. Got to praying that day. So anyway, praise the Lord. So I thought, I want to know, is this doctor for real? Like, does he know what he's doing? He said, I've been doing this 28 years. And he was a children's specialist. He specialized in these diseases. I said to him, how bad is my daughter? You know, I took him outside the room so my wife couldn't hear. And I said, how bad? I need to know, sir. How bad is she? And he looked at me, type of grimaced. He didn't want to say it. And I said, you could see his thing. I said, saying, just tell me. I want you to tell me straight. I said, how bad is she? He said, sir, she's the worst I've ever seen. I said, okay, I now know what I'm dealing with. I said, what's the next result? I said, because this machine that's pumping over this neocrate isn't working, is it? And he said, no, sir, it's not working. I said, so it's not working? He said, no. So I said, it's not sustaining her. He said, no. So I said, what's the next result? And he type of looked again. He was swallowing a bit hard. He didn't know what to say. And he finally said, I tell you what, he said, I've got an idea. Bring her back to the hospital in 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks' time, we'll try something else. And I found out afterwards the reason why he said bring her back in 2 weeks was because she had a maximum of a week to live. And he didn't want to tell us, take her home to die. He wanted to give us some hope. So he said, take her home for 2 weeks, fully believing he'd never see her again. The doctor said, if there was anything we could have done for her, we would have done it for her. And in her condition, there was no way we would have released her from hospital. So that's where we're at. This is 2000, and where are we at? 2006, March 2006. About 2 weeks before that incident, I got handed a little white cassette tape. Now, we were word people. We loved the word. We loved God. Like I said, we were associate pastors in the church. I'd teach Bible school. I'd teach the small groups and all this. We loved God, loved the word. But someone handed this little white cassette tape by a man called Andrew Womack. And hopefully, if you haven't checked out Andrew Womack's teachings, then I'd really recommend it, awmi.net. And I know Pastors Mark and Jennifer love his teaching. So someone gave us this cassette tape by Andrew Womack. I put it in the car. And for the first time, even though I'd been born again at that point, 10, 12 years, I heard the true gospel. For the first time, I heard the truth that God is a good God. He doesn't change. He doesn't go back and forth. He doesn't change his mind. He's a good God. His love is consistent. His love, he's good. And his will is good for us. His will is for us to be well. In fact, more than that, he's paid the price for us to be well. I'd never heard this before. I heard some other things as well. I heard about the authority of the believer. I heard about a better way to pray. So many things started making sense. It was an hour and a half teaching, and it was some of the best teaching I'd ever heard. At first, I put it in. I thought, what is this funny accent? Probably what you're thinking right now, right? What is this accent? You got to listen real hard. I was like that. I was like, I had to listen real hard. I mean, we're talking about a southern. I mean, it was recorded like in 1985, I believe. And he was faster than me. He was really fast back then. And he talked for an hour and a half, and I've talked to Andrew about that little cassette tape, and he said he remembers preaching that message, even though he's preached thousands of messages, because two reasons. One, it was the only time he's ever preached in dress shoes rather than cowboy boots. Only time ever. Because the pastor that the church he was at bought him dress shoes in the afternoon and gave them to him and said, you can wear these tonight. So when he preached that night, Sunday night, he had to wear dress shoes. He said he remembers that. And the second thing he remembers, he got up on the pulpit, and he felt the Lord say, just teach everything you know. So he taught everything he knew for an hour and a half. I mean, 10 minutes on everything. And every time he taught something, he said, I've got a 10-part set on this, and I've got a 6-part set on this. So I thought, I wonder what this deal is. So I went and looked online, and I found his teachings, and we started listening to his teachings. And what we was doing was we was listening to the truth. And I downloaded them, gave them to my wife in the hospital, and I was listening to them while I was renovating houses at the time. And we started to hear the truth for the first time. We started to hear the true gospel. We started to hear that God is a good God, and God's nature is always good, and God's always, His will is always to heal. Praise God. By the way, if you want to hear that tape, it's discontinued. But we actually, I don't know how they did it, but they got the tape, they digitally remastered it. That's what they said. It sounds fancy, isn't it? Digitally remastered. And they put it on our website as a free little download. So if you go to our website, it's right there on the homepage. It's a little cassette tape. It's a free download. It's called Your New Identity in Christ. It's not, you can't get it anywhere else because they discontinued it at AWM because the he talks too fast, so you have to listen real hard. But that'll bless you. So we heard this for the first time, and something went off inside of us, like now we knew God's will. But here was the thing. Even though our daughter was still dying, we knew it wasn't God's will for her to die. And that empowered us. Let me tell you, when you know God's will for you, and I'm telling you, you don't have to worry. We used to pray prayers like, if it be your will, Lord. No, we know God's will. We know the mind of Christ. We know what God's will is in these situations. And you can pray confident prayers. You can pray prayers of faith when you know it's God's will. So it's God's will to heal every time. And when I heard this, I was like, it's God's will for my daughter to be well. Even though we didn't see any change in her, even though she wasn't healed, we didn't see her healed at that point. Something changed in us. And we led our small group a few days later after we first heard that cassette tape. And we were trying to teach them, you know, it didn't go very well. We were trying to teach them all this stuff we'd learned, praise God. And we were just full of joy. I mean, we had the joy of the Lord. Our daughter was there. She wasn't healed yet. And we had joy. See, after she was healed, they said, well, you're only happy because you saw your daughter healed. No, we got to a place. You can get to a place where you are so in love with God and you've received His love and realize who you are in Christ, that whether the circumstances change or not, it doesn't even matter. Now, we want the circumstances to change. We want to receive everything God's paid for. We want to receive everything that God's got for us. But even if we don't, it reminds me of, I call them my shack, your shack, and to bed we go, right? And Daniel in the fiery furnace, right? That's my attempt. I'm not going to pronounce their name. But in the fiery furnace, you know, in Daniel, they said, our God's going to deliver us. But even if He doesn't, we're not bowing the knee to you. We're going to serve our God. And you can get to the point where you're so enamored by God's love. God loves us so unconditionally. Man, it's like all of a sudden the circumstances just fade away. So now our daughter's dying, but it's not the biggest deal in our life. Now the biggest deal in our life is, man, God, you're awesome. This isn't your will for my daughter to die. I knew the truth. It changed, I'm telling you. So anyway, I went online. I was looking. I thought, I wonder if there's any conferences in England that teach this. I wonder if Andrew Womack gets to have a conference in England, because I didn't know anyone else that was teaching this. So I looked online. It said March the 16th was the only conference that year. Started March the 16th, 2006. So I looked and I thought, today is March the 15th. That's tomorrow. That's not bad timing. So now in England, you can't just get your kids out of hospital because, you know, you can't do it. You can't take, if your kid's dying, you can't take them out of hospital. So you have to have permission to take your children out of hospital. So I thought, I wonder how I'm going to, work this out. How are we going to get Hannah to this conference? So, you know, I was still a little bit sovereignty of God. I was like, God, if it be your will, you know, make a way. But anyway, I got to the hospital, and that's the day when I spoke to the doctor, and I said to him, how bad is she? He said, she's the worst. Take her home for 2 weeks. We didn't take her home. We put her in the car, and we drove to the other end of the country to this conference, and we got in the car, and it was like on a faith journey. It was like, this is it. We know now we didn't have to go anywhere. We don't have to go anywhere to receive your healing. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. So God meets us where we're at, praise God, and the best place is just to receive straight from the word. In fact, I'm a Caris Bible College graduate. I went there in 2006, and Andrew said to me, what's the best thing about now you've graduated Caris Bible College? I said, I don't need you anymore. And he knew what I meant. But it's true. The best way to receive is directly from the word of God. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to have anyone pray for you. You don't have to come, you know, you don't have to go to anywhere special. We can receive directly from God. Now, God meets us where we're at, praise God. So He'll work with what we give Him. So if we say, Lord, come to my house and my daughter will be healed, then He's going to do that. If He says, Lord, just say the word and my servant will be healed, He'll work with us like that. So whatever, you know, the point of contact, the woman with the issue of blood said, if I touch His garment, that was her point. That's what she was. God's so gracious, He'll work with us where we're at. So our faith was, if we could get to that conference, our daughter will be healed. That was where our faith was at. So we got in the car and we started driving up the other end of the country. And, you know, English people don't travel. We don't drive very far. If you drive anywhere more than like 50 miles, you stay the night, literally. I mean, it's like we just don't travel. Gas is $12 a gallon. The car, the biggest car, like I like cars. Some people say I'm carnal. But I like cars. And the biggest car I could get, that'll hit you later. The dad jokes are coming out. The biggest car I could get was a Ford Ranger pickup truck. That's it. So you know, who wants to travel in small cars with high gas prices and bad traffic? So we got in the car and we headed up to the other end of the country to this conference. And the first thing we did was, it was Friday evening. We pulled into the highway and there was traffic just backed up. I mean, just like as far as the eye could see, you know, interstate just backed up, jammed, not moving. So I said to Carly, don't worry, I have authority as a believer. I said, I can just command these cars, wound the window down, stuck my head out like the cars have to hear you if you're going to speak to them. Got to make sure they can hear you. So I'm sticking my head out the window. I'm traffic, I command you to move. Shouting. Guess what happened? Nothing. I was sat in traffic. I was new to these type of things, you know. I was learning. So my wife was like, get back in here. It's like, so we sat in traffic. We missed the first night. We went to the second session on the Saturday, and she was so sick. She was in the back room, in the where the babies, the creche, the cry room, and she was in her stroller, and she was crying so much that she finally fell asleep in her stroller. She was in so much pain. We unplugged her tube for a 1 hour break so we could flush the machine out, and at that point, the person who was running the conference got some people to pray for, and she was prayed for. Right then and there, she was prayed for real quick. In fact, Andrew prayed for her, and when he tells the testimony, he said it wasn't his prayer that healed her, it was faith in the word of God, because he said he prayed the quickest prayer ever. It was like he just spoke life to her body, he just told the disease to go, and he walked off. I mean, it was that quick. He didn't feel anything, nothing. She was asleep. When she woke up, he said, Hannah, when you was asleep, Jesus healed you. We just told her straight, when you was asleep, Jesus healed you. The truth was, she was healed 2,000 years ago, right? That's when she was healed. But I said, when you was asleep, Jesus healed you. And she said, I want to eat. I said, now, she'd never eaten solid food in her life, remember? Never eaten solid food in her life. I said, what do you want to eat? She said, I want McDonald's. I said, McDonald's? That'll kill a well person. I said, McDonald's? I said, you need some food. Not McDonald's, anyway. So, don't sue me, McDonald's, if you're watching. So, we drove around. That's the power of advertising, right? She wanted a Happy Meal. So we drove around looking for McDonald's, and we couldn't find one. This strange town was in the middle of England. So we found a KFC. I said, there's a KFC here. Is that okay? And she said, that will be fine. So we went into this KFC, and we ordered food, and we sat down. And if anyone was in that restaurant at the time, they must have thought, this is one strange family. They order food, but only one of them eats. The rest of them just sit there and watch. It was me, Carly, and my two sons. We just stared at Hannah. She'd never eaten solid food in her life, never been able to swallow lumps. She picked up fried chicken, and she started to eat that fried chicken and swallow it. She started eating fries. She drank a milkshake. She ate ice cream and brownies. She started eating food for the first time and started swallowing. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we gave her every food group we could. We went to the mall after that. So this is in the afternoon break between sessions. So we went to the KFC, then went to the mall and gave her all these different food groups, yogurts and dairy and everything we could give her. And she was eating everything and swallowing it. And an hour had gone past now, and we thought, well, do we plug our machine back in? And we said, well, she's healed. She doesn't need a machine. So we didn't plug our machine back in. Now, I'll just interject this real quickly. Some people try and replicate things. Like my wife, Carly, she was healed of grand mal seizure epilepsy, which means she couldn't be left on her own. She was often taken to hospital. An airplane had to emergency land on the way back from a trip she was on once because she had such a bad seizure. So we're talking about serious epilepsy. Couldn't drive a car. I tell people, she's got a license now. I don't know if she can drive or not, but she's not here to defend herself. But anyway. But she had grand mal seizure epilepsy. And you know what? She prayed, and the Lord spoke to her clearly and told her to stop taking her medication. Now, it's the only time in our 21 years of marriage where she's actually rebelled against me. I told her, you cannot do that. I was selfish. I said, you cannot die and leave me with three kids. I said, I can't. There's no way. So anyway, she said, God's told me, she said, and I cannot disobey God. God has told me. And she was so sure that it was God, so stubborn, she stopped taking her medication. She didn't have one more fit, a seizure fit at all. And that's been 15 years now. She's been 100% seizure-free, epileptic-free. Amen. Praise God. But I want to tell you that because I know people. In fact, a friend of mine, he had five kids, and he thought, well, I'm going to stop taking my medication and I'll be healed. So he stopped taking his medication for diabetes, had a stroke and died at 39 years old. And I tell people, when I get to heaven, I'm going to give him some fivefold ministry, because there was no need for him to die when he had five young kids. He was just stubborn for the wrong reasons. So let me just interject this. Faith produces actions. Actions don't produce faith. And if you're asking someone, should I stop taking my medication? Should I unplug the machine? Don't, because that means you're in doubt. If you have to have 100% word from God, like this is the most sure you've been about anything, to stop taking any medication. And, you know, I know cases are different, but basically when you're healed, your body's going to reject it anyway. So don't worry about it. And don't be one of these people that go all out like, well, if I'm taking medication, I can't be in faith. Okay? That's not true. Or if I go to the doctors, I'm not in faith. You know, God is not black and white like that. God wants us well. God works with us. And praise God, he's not the type of God that says, well, if you go to the doctors, that's it, I can't help you anymore. You're taking medication? Well, I was going to heal you by faith, but I can't help you anymore. That's not our God. God loves us, and he wants the best for us, praise God. So he will work with us wherever we're at, praise God. And of course, God's absolute best is we never get sick and never have a disease in the first place. So God works with us. He's so gracious, praise God. So I just wanted to tell you that, because we didn't plug her machine back in. I don't want anyone thinking, well, if we don't do this, if we don't plug the machine back in, or if we stop taking our medication, we'll get our healing. It doesn't work like that. The faith comes first, and then the action. James 2 says, faith without corresponding works is dead. Faith without action is dead. So we left her machine off. We didn't plug it back in again. We thought, you know what? She's healed. We're not going to plug her machine back in. And she kept eating. Now we put her in the car to take her to the evening session, and when we put in the car, she started to choke and started to throw up all this food she'd eaten. She acted like she was going to throw up. She started to choke, and right then fear hit me, and I was like, I had these thoughts, too good to be true, right? Maybe she's not healed. Maybe this is going to be really bad now. It's going to make it even worse. And I had that thought, but then right there I was like, no. I took that thought captive, and I said, no. I said, she's 3 years old, and this disease is trying to come back on her. The devil's trying to give her the symptoms again. I have authority over this. Authority of the believer. You have authority. If you're born again today, you have the kingdom of God living inside you. You have the Godhead bodily indwelling you. Colossians 2. You have everything you need, praise God. So you have authority over every sickness. Anything that comes against the word of God, anything that comes against the promises of God, you have authority as a believer today. And you have authority to tell them things to stop, whether that be sickness, poverty, sin, addiction, whatever it is against the word of God, against God's promises for you, you have authority over. Now, you don't have authority over the traffic, like I thought I had. We don't have authority over people, but we have authority over anything that's coming against the word of God, anything that's coming against the promises of God. And that disease was trying to come back on her, or the devil was trying to give her the symptoms, and she started to choke, and I thought, I've got authority as a believer. And she is my daughter. She's 3 years old. I've got authority over this choking. So I turned around, and instead of getting in fear, instead of going, God, help, it's going wrong, I just said, choking, stop in Jesus' name. Just told her, you know what, stop in Jesus' name. On the inside, I still had fear, right? I was still like, oh. But I was like, no, I'm going to choking, stop in Jesus' name. Had to do that 2 or 3 times, and she stopped choking and didn't throw up. We took her back to the meeting. We testified, all excited. We went back to our home church. They have a type of almost calls a church split. They type of kicked us out and gave us the left foot of fellowship, which is all good. And then we took her back to the doctors. Or actually, the doctors came to our house. So a senior nurse came to our house, knocked on the door and said, I need to see your daughter right now. She said, and as I let her in, she was walking down the hallway and she said to me, I understand you've been feeding her. Tell me you haven't been feeding her. You can't feed her. And I said, come on in. As she opened the kitchen door, there was Hannah at the kitchen table eating. She's like, the nurse went, you can't do this. I said, we've been doing it for 3 days, and she's absolutely fine. So they said, you've got to bring her back to hospital. So we brought her back to hospital, and they did all these tests on her. Now, we didn't need the test to tell her she was healed or not. We knew she was healed. It was a done deal. So it wasn't like we needed the test to prove it, but she went to did all the tests anyway. We thought we'd be obedient, and they did the tests on her. And after about 4 or 5 months of testing her and trying all this stuff, they finally said, they came in, it was quite funny, they came in, they had some trainees with them and everything else, and they came in, they said, Hannah, we've tried. Like, they'd really tried. We've tried. They said, we've really tried, but we can't find one thing wrong with you. Everything wrong with you is completely healed. You've not got one thing wrong with you. You're perfect, amen? Praise God. In fact, they said to her, you are perfect. And she smiled, you know, 3 years old, 3.5 years old. She said, I know I am. Like, this looking at her dad. It's like, you're far from perfect. But anyway, so perfectly healed, not one thing wrong with her. And now she's 16 years old. She's 100% healthy. She's caught up on her growth. Her hair, her hair had all fallen out, gone thinned out. Her skin had gone translucent. Her hair's 100% grown back. She's put on weight again. She's caught up on her height and growth and everything. She's 100% in the charts. They're happy with her. 100% normal, not one thing wrong with her. She goes to an Air Academy, Air Force High School. She's in the junior ROTC. I think they might have a picture of her in her uniform. She'll tell me off if I show you this. There you go. This junior ROTC. She wants to be in the Marines or the Air Force. Praise God. She trains dogs. We have a couple of dogs and she trains them. And then if you want to improve your prayer life, she's got her driver's permit. So you can see there. If you see there, see, look. She'll tell me off for showing you that one, but let me tell you, that scared me when she was driving. But she's driving a car, and not one thing wrong with her, praise God. So isn't God good? Amen. Now, let me tell you, you can take that down before I embarrass myself. Now, let me tell you a few things about this story. First of all, God is no respecter of persons. There was nothing special about us. There was nothing special about... What happened was, is we believed the word of God. We believed the promises of God. And how many of you know the promises of God are always yes and amen? They're always yes and amen. God is not a maybe, maybe not God. He's a good God, and he's a God of yes and amen. He's a God who wants the best for us. Only religion could mess this up, if you think about it. Because God's a loving father. In fact, if you had the best parent here today, and you looked at the best parent who was one of these parents that never raised their voice, and one of these parents that negotiate with their two-year-old. Now, little Jimmy, I know you've thrown my cell phone in the lake, but what have we learned here? One of those parents, okay? One of those parents, okay? Compared to God, Jesus said, that's evil. That's how good God is. God is so good, we've got no idea. We're going to spend eternity keep realizing, wow, I've seen another facet of God's goodness. That's how good he is. So God is so good and so loving. He wants us well. He wants us prosperous in every area of our life. He wants a success. He's paid the price for it, and that's his will for us, praise God. He's got it for us, and it's up to us whether we want to believe it or not. Are we going to believe it or not? It's up to us. I tell people, there's only two types of Christians. Those who are born again and are blessed and believe it, and those who are born again and blessed and don't believe it. And God still loves you. You're still going to heaven. It's all good. But if you want to receive the life that Jesus paid for, you're going to have to do some believing and make some choices. So John 10:10, Pastor Mark already mentioned this, but John 10:10, the thief comes except to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come, Jesus come, this is Jesus speaking, I've come to give you life, and not just life, not just normal life, but life more abundantly. Jesus came to give us life more abundantly. He came to not just fix us up, patch us up. Back in the day, I used to believe, well, God just covers my sin. And God looks at me, God the Father looks at me through Jesus and just about tolerates me. That's not true. God loves us so much. God loves you so much. I'll tell you what, he loves you and he doesn't just fix you up. He makes you brand new. He makes you brand new. And when he made you brand new, you got everything in Christ, praise God. You got everything you need to do everything God's called you to do. It's the truth. I'm telling you, God wants you well. God wants you prosperous. God wants you free from sin and addiction. God wants you your marriage restored. He wants your relationships with your children restored. He wants you promoted. I'm telling you, God has got only good plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you. I've got plans for you to bless you. I've got plans to prosper you. One translation says, I've got plans to prosper you abundantly. Amen. God only has good plans for us. He's a good God, full stop. He's a good God, full stop. Only religion, one of the biggest lies that religion has put out. When Jesus walked the earth, he never got mad at anyone, apart from the religious people. The people that misrepresented God. The people that misrepresented his character. And I'm quite a chilled guy. I don't get mad very often. But, for instance, if I was somewhere and I heard something bad about my wife say, someone started talking bad about my wife. It's on, right? Can I get a witness? Someone talks bad about my kids. That's not true. It's a lie. It's on. And that's how they say it, right? We're done fixing to... How do you say it here? we're done fixing to for a showdown. Jesus was... And they're misrepresenting the Father. That's why Jesus got mad. He didn't get mad at the sinners. He didn't get mad at anyone apart from those misrepresenting God, the religious people. And religion will say this, maybe God heals, maybe he doesn't. Maybe God does things to teach us things. Let me tell you, God does not use sickness God does not use the devil. God does not use bad situations. Now, he is so awesome and so good. And I think this is the bit. I think this really rubs the devil's nose in it, right? Because he'll take something the devil meant for bad and turn it around and use it for our good. Amen. I'm telling you, the worst night you've had, the worst thing that's happened in your life, if you let God, if you choose to believe and choose to receive his promises and let God, God will turn that around and he'll rub the devil's face in it so bad, he will turn that situation around so the devil wishes he never messed with you. I'm telling you, whatever you're going through at the moment, whatever trial or tribulation you're going through, I'm telling you, start believing God, because God wants to turn that around more than you want it turned around. God wants your kids serving God more than you want them serving God. God wants your marriage restored more than you want your marriage restored. God wants your finances restored more than you want your finances restored. God wants you prospered more than you want to be prospered. God wants your body well more than you want it well. God loves you and he wants these things for you, praise God. And the good news is he's already paid the price for it. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. We're not trying to get something we haven't got. We're just releasing something we've already got on the inside of us. And let me tell you, it's a lot easier to release something than it is to go and get something. We're not sure if we can get it or not. Many years ago, the kids came home and they found a little bird on the pathway, a little pink thing on the pathway. I thought it was dead, so I went out there and it was alive, this little tiny bird. Oh. So Carly said, bring it in the house. And the kids went on Google and found out how to raise a little baby bird. And you have to get, you're going to learn something in church. You have to get like a coffee stirrer and put dog food on it and force it to feed the bird. That's what you do. So the kids and me and Carly force fed this bird, and we put heat lamps on it, and we raised this little tiny baby bird. True story. And I didn't realize it was a faith project for Carly. Carly said, if that bird flies, I'm telling you, that was like, she wanted to see that bird fly. So every 2 hours we had to feed this bird, and we had heat lamps on it, and then we had to go and visit someone, so we had to put it in a shoebox and with the lamp take it to the deal in the car, feed it. It was a drama for a couple of months in our house, this bird. The whole time, I was like, man, I wish I, you know. I won't say what I wish I'd done anyway, so. I'm just saying, we had two cats, okay? And I'm like, when I needed you most, cats, it didn't even help me. But anyway, so this bird lived and grew feathers and started to fly. And let me tell you, I say all that to say, I had this bird in my hand and it got out in the house. Could I catch that thing? Imagine a bird flying around here. You can't catch it. That's how we go about in religion, trying to get something from God. It's like a little bird in this room, and you're trying to go around catching it. You're going to get exhausted, frustrated. You're going to be running around. You're going to spend all your time. Your focus is going to be on getting that bird so badly. You're going to hurt yourself, hurt others. It's not going to be a good situation. But if you have a bird in your hand, do you know how easy it is to release it? You have to make a conscious effort not to release it. And that's what the promises of God are like in our life. The only thing that can block the promises of God in your life are you, your thinking. That's the only thing. And this is freeing for me. At first I was like, this sounds like, you know, this is a bit heavy. No, this is actually really freeing, because you know what? There's one thing you got control of, and that's you. You can't control other people. You can't control. It's you. We can change our minds. We can renew our minds. And it's so easy. It's not work. We just read the word. What does the word say about me? The word says, and you get to the point where the word becomes more real than your natural circumstances. We look in a natural mirror to see who we are in the flesh, right? You look in the mirror and see, make sure everything's going on good, the hair and, you know, makeup. You know, that's what you do, right? That's the natural mirror. That only shows you who you are in the body, you know, the flesh. Then you check your feelings. You know who your feelings are, because you can feel if you in your soul. If you've been hurt, someone says something about you, you feel it, right? You can feel it. Or if you're hot or cold, you can feel it. How do you know who you are in the spirit? How do you know who the real you is? By the word of God. The word of God is our spiritual mirror. And that's why one of the reasons I'm so excited about this church, because you're learning the truth about who you are in Christ. You're learning the truth about who you are in Christ. And it'll get to the point. Now, sometimes it takes time. It doesn't have to take time. But sometimes it takes time to the point where it's like, I get it. You identify with who you are in the word. You identify with how God sees you. And then at some point, it's going to go from renewing your mind, and it's going to hit your heart. It's going to hit your soul. And you're going to be like, I got it. And what that thing you've been struggling with, or that thing that's been, will just be easy, fall off, no problem, no effort. His burden's light. It's not difficult, praise God. 2 Corinthians 1:20, in case you're taking notes, if anyone's, I'm well beyond notes now. But anyway, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God, not some of them, all of them, are in him, yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. Did you know it brings God glory when you believe him for his promises. It brings him glory when you believe him for his promises and say, Lord, I believe, even though my circumstances don't look like it, even though my body doesn't feel like it, even though all the situation, I believe, I'm choosing to believe your word over the circumstances. That's a position of strength, I'm telling you. Jesus said to Thomas, you're blessed because you've seen and believed, but more blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe. Amen. We are in a place now, too, and we have got so much as a body of Christ. I had a dream one time, and I was in heaven, and I was going up to Abraham and Noah and all these great people of faith, and I was going, you know, Abraham, what's it like to be called the friend of God? Because we're going to get to visit with all these Old Testament heroes. Isn't that powerful? Yeah. We've all got the same God, right? So it's not like an Old Testament God and New Testament God. You know, we're going to the same God, right? So look, I'm going to go up to King David. King David, what was it like to be called a man after God's own heart? They're going to run up to Elijah and Elisha, asking about the miracles. Moses, what was it like splitting the Red Sea? How did that work? Hitting the rock, what happened? I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to visit with these people. It's going to be awesome. And right in my dream, the Holy Spirit interjected. Pew. And he said, Ashley, you know what's going to happen when you get to heaven? He said, you think you're going to go up to these people and say, what is it like? You know what's going to happen? He said, those Old Testament prophets and heroes, you know, Hebrews 11, Faith Hall of Fame, are going to come to you and say, what is it like to have the Holy Spirit indwelling you? What was it like to have the whole Word of God? We only had a little portion of it. What was it like to have Christ in you, the hope and glory? What was it like to know that God had died for you? We didn't know that. What was it like to have the church, a body of believers that could meet together and support each other? What was it like to have a prayer language, a spiritual language that you could communicate with God and God could communicate with you through? What was it like to have Christ living in you, the hope of glory? What was it like? Because Jesus said, John the Baptist was the greatest, I haven't got time to show you, but you can show it to yourself. John the Baptist was the greatest person ever to live, but you and me are greater than him. John the Baptist was the greatest person to live outside of Christ, born of a woman. So me and you are greater than him. Do you know why? Because he was born under the old covenant and we're born under the new covenant. And the new covenant is infinitely better than the old covenant. And the people of the old covenant could only dare to dream about what we get in this new covenant, praise God. So if you think, you don't understand, Ashley, you don't understand what I'm going through and I'm not a very good Christian, take that out of your vocabulary. There's no such thing. If you think you're having a... Just think about who you are in Christ. Just start giving thanks to God about who you are in Christ, praise God. And I'm telling you what, it will change the situation. All of a sudden, you'll realize, you'll put things into perspective. And these Old Testament heroes, they'll say, you know, in my dream, they said to me, what did you do with all what you have, with the full Word of God and the Holy Spirit living inside of you? Because we only had the Holy Spirit visit us now and again if we were fortunate. And we only had a little bit of the Lord to believe. And, you know, we didn't know Jesus. But we conquered armies and... We saw walls come down and we saw nations change and we won battles and we went out there by faith, praise God. We did all these things by faith. What did you do? And I'd be like, well, worried about gas prices. I mean, gas prices, they fluctuate now. I mean, I got a V8. I mean, I worried about paying my rent. I had this pain in my knee that I can't get rid of. They'd be like, what? You've got the fullness, the Godhead bodily living in you, Colossians 2, 9 and 10. And there you are saying that let's get in perspective, church. We are blessed, blessed, blessed. We have got so much on the inside of us, praise God. You've got everything you need to do everything God's called you to do, praise God. The promises of God are inside of you, praise God, and you can release them if you allow yourself to renew your mind to the Word of God. And it's not a complicated thing. Now, dare I say it, sorry, Cynthia, you haven't even got to go to Carriage Bible College. Dare I say it, you haven't got to come to church. Could I just recommend that coming to something like Carriage Bible College, where you're going to get discipled, or coming to church regularly, going to small groups and things like that, are really going to help you. But ultimately, it's going to be your choice to renew your mind to the Word. You could have people that sat in church for all their life and they still haven't renewed their mind to the Word. And you don't have to know like hundreds of scriptures. You just start a few scriptures, it will change your life. The power of God. I'm telling you, you choose to believe Him, it will renew your mind, praise God. The power to believe Him. So, My points were, just in case, I mean, we're done, we can't go to points now, but anyway, I was going to, if you're taking notes, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we choose to walk by faith instead of walking by sight, instead of our circumstances, we choose to walk what the word tells us to. 1 John 4:8-16, 1 John 4:8-16, God is love, we know that, God is love, and everything he does for us is loving and good. And one more thing I would say, on that part, God is good. You know, people say, what about this? And what about Aunt so-and-so? And what about when this happened? Okay, let me tell you, I personally believe God will answer all of our questions here on earth. If you have a question, you ask God, he'll answer it. Now, if you're asking God, tell me now, you might not be in a position to hear it now, so it may take a little bit for you to hear the answer. But if you've got a question, you don't understand, why did this not work? You ask the Lord and he'll show you. I truly believe that. But even if you don't see the answer, never question God's goodness. Never question God's love. You know, I shouldn't tell this story because I'm flying on a plane in a few hours. But anyway, when planes crash, sometimes they investigate, they spend years and millions of dollars investigating that plane crash. They want to find out why it crashed, right? They want to find out, was it pilot error? Was it mechanical error? Was it the air traffic control? Was it another plane? Was it weather conditions? Was it the runway? Whatever, what was it? And they look for all these reasons, right, of why a plane crashed. It wouldn't happen again. And sometimes, even to this day, they will never know why a plane crashed. Do you know that? There's plane crashes that happen. They still don't know. After years of investigation, millions of dollars spent, they still can't tell you why it crashed. But you know what they never do? They never say, I just think gravity stopped working for a few minutes. That's why that plane crashed. They don't even question gravity. Because it's a constant. So even if they can't get any of their questions answered, they'll never say it was gravity that quit. Why? Because that'd be crazy. If gravity quit, everything would go wrong, right? So they know that's constant. That's how we got to look at God's goodness and God's love. It's constant. Even if we can't see, I don't understand. Never take that off the table. Never quit believing God is good and God is love. And it's God's will for you to be healed. And it's God's will for you to prosper. And it's God's will for you is only good. Never question that. Even if you can't see it, even if it feels like it's, you can't see it. God is always good and God is always love. And he loves you, praise God. He loves you.